Father God, just thank you for this man. Thank you for his enthusiasm. Thank you for his passion for Jesus. Whoa. And I just pray that he would be a channel for you this morning, Father God, to share with us what it is that you want to share today, the words that you want us to hear. Whoa. That we will leave knowing that we've been spoken to by through the Holy Spirit, through Colin, the love words that you have for us this morning.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Thanks for the worship, Tina and Jacob. I could have worshipped all morning. Look, what a great picture. That's who we were a couple of days ago. Going up Pavey Arch. And so we've been away with some of us men the last 3 days climbing hills. And as you know, I do like that. And so I'm going to just use some pictures that we took just as a backdrop for the talk. Yeah. But that's an inspiring sight. It's one of my kids' favourite walks. John's gone out now, but if he was here, he'd be jumping up and down because they demand I do that walk every year. Going up Pavey Arch, up Jack's Rake, climbing through the cliffs. But the reason I've got that up there, the river, it's a picture of a river. I've never seen the rivers like that in the lakes in the 30 years that I've been walking up there. They were so full. They were really white. And stepping stones that are that, 2 foot high normally, were completely submerged and torrents of water rushing down the mountains. So it's been raining quite a bit. And so I wasn't sure what few days were going to hold in store for us. But anyway, we are a river. And Stephen Clement came, didn't he, a few weeks ago to the joint meeting and talked about that, talked about the river and reminded us of God's story within river and gave us some R words, didn't he? He said about renovating the house and rejuvenating and not reclining, but he used a whole lot of R words to encourage us at this bend in the river, at this new season, to look for the gold and to see what God has done in the past, but also to look forward to what he's going to do in the future. So I thought I would just follow on from that just a little bit. A number of us got talking after that meeting and remembered, actually, that for a number of years, R's were very important to us. And I'm not talking about the kind of R's, but the R's. And can people remember what they were? Some people can, because we've chatted about it. What about others? Can you remember what the four R's were that we used to kind of... Relational was one, definitely. Reaching out was definitely one. That's one of my favourites. They're all good. You're excused, Peter. You weren't around then, so... You can guess. Resource, yes. We were a resource church. And what's the last one? Close. Radical, yes. It was radical. Getting to the heart of things, to the root of things. And so I just wanted just to flick through those again, just in the light of that talk, as we strip back the layers and start to renovate the house. That picture that Stephen had, he showed us lots of pictures of the renovation of the house that he was working on. And there is a sense in which God is continually renovating the house, and we're helping him. We're all part of that house, and some of us in need of repair and renovation. But the first R I just wanted to touch on was relational spaces. And we went away as a group of men this weekend, and people came who were invited. Some didn't respond to the invitation. That's always the way. But people come, and we come when we're invited, don't we? I don't know about you, but I don't just turn up on someone's doorstep and expect to be invited in and given dinner. You can do that to good friends, but normally I wait to be invited, and especially these days when we're a household of six. Well, seven when Rachel's back. And you have to be very brave to invite us around for dinner. One couple did that just last week, actually. We had a Thanksgiving dinner, all six of us, so which was great fun. So we go where we're invited, don't we? Yes, we do. Thank you, Andy. You're a preacher. You know what it's like to need people to interact with you. Thank you. Thank you. So the thing is, you know, our God is relational, and we never tire of that. And the longer I go on in my walk with Jesus, the more that means to me, and the deeper and richer that particular aspect of God's nature comes to the fore. And the less religious is important, the less religious things are important. And it all becomes about relationship. And I was away with the men this week, and I did a couple of Bible studies, and just looking at Luke chapter 11. And, you know, I love the Bible. I love meditating on the Bible. And love seeing the waft and the wave of Scripture. As you go on, as you read Scripture, you know, God speaks to us right at the very beginning of our, when we don't even know him. Words will leap out of the page. They'll touch our heart. The story grabs hold of our heart. The story that God would come down and suffer so much for us, you know, live such a tremendous life, but then suffer at our hands and die for us. That's a heart-gripping story. So God, it speaks to us very plainly. But as we go on and reread and reread and reread, it's like a stew that just gets richer and richer the more we dwell upon it. And this Luke chapter 11, as I explained to the guys, just it really grabbed hold of me, and sometimes the paragraphs and the chapters can break things up for us, they get in the way. And that happened for me in Luke 11, and I've only just in recent months seen something in there which I just thought I'd share with you. Some of the guys have already heard this, but I just want to share just a little thing here, because it starts off with Jesus' disciples saying, "Teach us to pray." So what were they asking? What do you think was going on? Thank you. Maybe. Religion, almost certainly religion wasn't meeting their needs. What did they see in Jesus? He'd just been praying. He returns to them and they say, "Teach us to pray, Jesus." Yes. Yes, absolutely. They saw something in Jesus that they wanted. They saw something in Jesus that actually excited them. They saw he had an intimacy with his God. You know, he could chat with him for hours. Most of us get bored and fall asleep after a couple of seconds. And Jesus was able to go away and spend time in prayer and come back more animated and more alive than when he went. That's exciting. And they wanted that. They wanted to know God. So talking is just the first step in a relationship, isn't it? It's just a way of getting hold of someone. Actually, it's like, "Hello, how are you? What's your name? You know, where do you come from?" Just talking, we get to know one another. And so prayer is just talking. And so this is a first base on that journey. And he then teaches them the Lord's Prayer, which most of us know, you know, which is packed full of stuff. I'm not going to go into that this morning. And then goes on about saying, you know, persist in prayer, you know, and then it goes on to ask, seek and knock, which I've talked on here before, about being an invitation into intimacy. Everyone who asks receives, you know, everyone who seeks finds. God doesn't hide from us, he hides for us. So, and then the knocking, you know, that everyone who knocks, the door will be open. We can come into the very presence of God. So the whole chapter, from beginning to end, is a journey into intimacy with God. And he finishes it by saying, "How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" So you start off with just talking, and you end up living together. It's like a journey of intimacy with God, the whole chapter. And I just love that. Jesus goes way beyond answering their prayer, their request. And the way that Luke's recorded it for us is just amazing. Just amazing. But it may surprise you to know that Luke I'm studying Luke at the moment, and he picks up on stuff that other gospel writers don't pick up on. So if you read the story of his baptism, Jesus' baptism, Luke mentions something that the others don't. He says that it's after Jesus had prayed that the Holy Spirit came. It's like Jesus himself was inviting God, saying, "Come be with me. I want to know you more." And in response to that, God comes. So our God comes where he's invited. just like these guys came on a wet and wild weekend where they were invited. Wasn't it fun, John? Despite the wet weather, So I just feel like, you know, relational was always a key part of River, relationships, a relational church, you know, and I just want us to grab hold of that again and create relational spaces. Invite one another. Invite the Holy Spirit. Invite God to come and live within us, because people come when we invite them. God comes when we invite them. We invite them, I guess so. Him. He is three in one after all. And that's what Jesus says in John 14, doesn't he? He says, you know, if you obey my word, then actually the Father and I will come and live with you. So this is the destiny. This is what we're aiming for. And it happens on those relational weekends. We had a great time. The radical, I'm going to tie up with adventure. You know, because this church was birthed with adventure. You know, it's my privilege to know people that were around in the very early years of this church as friends, and to hear stories of how God grabbed hold of the hearts of teenagers. You know, it was fantastic, and it wasn't the only church. Paul led another church or was part of leadership in another church in London where God grabbed hold of the hearts of teenagers to such an extent that they formed a church. You know, and it begins with the Holy Spirit being poured out and them getting excited about all that they're learning in the Bible and about what God's doing in them and around them. And so a church is birthed out of that. But that's not where it stops. You know, we're supposed to continue to adventure. To continue to adventure with the Holy Spirit. And he's calling us back in this season to radicalness, to go back to our source, back to the days when actually the Holy Spirit was poured out. We got excited. You know, we're in danger of even making the Holy Spirit, you know, commonplace and a matter-of-fact thing rather than get excited about it. He's amazing. The fact that God will come is amazing. Really amazing. And my daughter shook me up. She said, Dad, I'm going to this church up in Durham, Rachel, my daughter Rachel, and I saw her last week. And she said, Dad, this church is great. It's just like River, he said, but just a bit more charismatic. You could have cut my heart to the quick. I said, what do you mean? She said, well, you know, they just make sure they work hard at making sure the gifts are exercised every Sunday. And I think, oh my word, you're absolutely right. We're lazy. We're lazy. I'm lazy. Gotta work harder. Not to put any burdens on people. But, you know, I'm just saying that that's something our God is asking us to actually be radical and go back to our roots and to adventure. And that means getting out of our comfort. It means going to sometimes to cold, hard places. It means really working hard to get, we have to work hard to get up to that grey, dreary place. But we enjoyed it. We enjoyed it. And you can see the smiles on the folks' faces there. You know, and it's always a risk. It's always a risk when you go out to adventures aren't safe. You know, when we start a new relationship, it's not safe. It's risky. You might get rejected. You know, when you invite someone to church, it's risky. When you offer prayer for healing, it's risky. When you offer to help someone who's in need, it's risky. You know, it's just, but God says, be bold. I'm with you. You can take adventures. And so for me, I like that. Just the other week, I was preaching on honey at a small gathering at the Royal Borough, actually, in Maidenhead. And I got excited about that because it reminded me of what I used to do when I first got saved. I just read the Bible. And I used to read the Bible lunchtimes. And then one guy said, can I come and join you? So on a Thursday, every Thursday, we would meet and read the Bible. And then a lady in my office said, what are you guys doing? You're on drugs? We said, no, we're reading the Bible. She said, really? That can't be true. I said, why don't you come and find out? So she did. And 6 months later, she becomes a Christian. And then a backslidden Christian comes and joins us. And he gets on fire just from reading the Bible and praying together. And then some people from outside work start coming along, you know, and then there's a healing happens. And it's just fantastic. I got really, it was just exciting days. And I thought, yeah, I'll just go along and share in someone else's joy what they're doing at work. And I was preaching on honey, on, you know, and the fact that God wants to give us honey in this season. And that's still a word that I'm carrying, that God doesn't want to just give us water from the rock, the things that enable us to survive, but actually a richness, the things that will bring a light to our eyes and a smile and energy for our fight and our walk. He says, if I would have given them honey from the rock, if they'd have asked, which is just amazing, God's heart in that. And so, and then I was preaching on that, and then at the end, I ran out of time because I told too many stories. This is where you say, never, you can't tell too many stories. That's not like you, Colin. How unusual, yes, but you know, I did overrun a little bit because I meant to leave a lot of space for ministry. And then, but I thought, no, I must push through. I can't just do no ministry. So I prayed for some guy and gave him a word. And I thought, I'll sit down. No, I've got to do some more. And then I said, I'll pray for this lady. And I gave her a word that said that God has honey for you in this season, and gave her a few more things. And you know what? At the end, she said, that's amazing, she said. I'm really being blessed by what you just shared with me, because my name means honey. And she doesn't normally come along. She hadn't been to that group before. It's the first time. She only came with a special invite. And she said, up to that day, I got an email from her 3 days later. And she said, up to that day, I was really miserable. I've been wandering around for weeks and weeks with my head down and really in a bad way, lost hope. She said, but that day, I came alive again. I've been running around with a silly smile on my face and singing everywhere I've gone. So thank you. So that, you know, that took a bit of step for me to adventure and to push through, because it's easier not to. Even if you've done it 100 times, it's still easier not to give someone a prophetic word or pray for them to be healed. So just adventure. I go up to the Methodists, you know, and every year, and this guy that leads Rachel's church, a guy called Alan Bell, he says to me, Colin, why do you keep coming up to the Methodists? It's a dead thing, isn't it, up here? You know, why do you keep coming up? And I say, well, God's doing some great stuff. I told him 2 years ago I came up, and a lady came up to me who had a syndrome like the elephant man. And I thought, oh, my word, okay. But we prayed with her. A few months later I went back, and she said, I want you to know that the week you prayed for me, I went for a walk along the beach for the first time in 11 years. Pain left my... I woke up one day and I didn't have to wear my orthopedic shoes. Fantastic. There was a healing that happened, a dramatic healing. The next year I was up and I was preaching on the love of God, and some woman screams out and saying, the darkness has been chasing me for decades. And then we pray for her and she screams even louder, and then she slumps down and a smile comes across her face, and she's been smiling ever since. And their testimony is she's a different woman. She's a transformed lady. She's now joy-filled. It's a joy that surpasses knowledge, let alone a peace that surpasses knowledge. It's a joy, an overwhelming joy in that lady. This week, a couple of weeks ago, I was up there again when I visited Rachel. I was visiting Rachel on the back of this. And another lady comes up to me and she says, Colin, I just want to thank you for keep coming up and sharing the love of God. She says, 3 years ago when we started, when I did Ignite, I just didn't believe that, you know, God would speak to me or use me. I just didn't believe it. I thought it was for other people. She says, now God speaks to me every day. Come on! She says, now God speaks to me every day. And I'm planning a mission now this week, this year, in the summer. Well, next year, it's 2019. She's planning a 3-day mission in her town. Sleepy little town with a sleepy little Methodist church. Fantastic! Well, you know, I think it's fantastic. It's just, but we've got to persist in adventuring. Amen? Yeah. Let's get out to some cold, dark places. I'm not saying that Newcastle's a cold, dark place, but you know, we've just got to get back into adventuring with Jesus. Adventures are risky, I've said that. The reason I've got no picture for this is because nobody took any pictures when things got risky. Because I was leading this walk, and it was freezing cold and howling with wind. Honestly, we could hardly stand up at the top. We'd done Bowfell and we were doing Crinkle Crags. And I was leading 11 people. And I thought, this is going to be easy. We've done the hard bit. We're now going across Crinkle Crags. It's a ridge. We'll just stick to the ridge. We can't go wrong. We'll just dive off the end of the ridge and down. We'll be home back at the pub in no time. It looked like that. And if you've never led a walk in the hills, it's horrible to lead walk in the clouds. It really is horrible. Because you just, whilst you may think you know where you are, you don't know where you are. And it wasn't long before I realized that we were lost. And I was responsible for 11 people. And I thought, oh my word, what am I going to do now? And, we dove down to try and get beneath the cloud so we could see where we were. And then we thought, oh, we know where we are now. But we didn't. when we walked a bit further, we realized we were even more lost. And I stood there, really grim, and I thought, and I actually spoke out, I actually said out loud, "We're lost." That's not going to inspire people, is it? "Do you want to come walking with me in the hills? It's great fun." With the hail and the wind, you know, this is really rotten conditions to be lost in. We did, once we took a stop, we took stock at that point. You know, what I did some sensible things. Firstly, I looked at I got my compass out, which I should have had out all the time when it's cloudy. I got my compass out and I thought, well, if we walk east or north, we're going to be fine. We'll hit something and actually we'll know where we are. We chose the wrong one out of the two, but you know, what can you do? Because really, we were actually going in completely the opposite direction we thought we were going in the cloud. 180 degrees we turned. Sad. Anyway, I got my compass out, so I thought we're just going to head in this direction until we come across something we realise. And we dove down so that we got beneath the cloud so we could see where we were. And when we did that, we could make out on the map where we were, and then we found our way back onto the walk. The walk was slightly different than we'd planned, but it was fun nevertheless, and the adventure became part of our story. But this is a bit like life for us. Sometimes we can feel lost. If we're honest, sometimes life doesn't work out the way we planned. Sometimes, you know, we don't end up in the place where we thought we're going to end up, and that disappointment can set in. Hope can go. The Bible calls it being lost. We can end up feeling lost. And in those situations, there are some important lessons. Don't forget the basics. You know, for me, I didn't have my compass out. The map's useless without a compass. The Bible's useless without the Holy Spirit. Excuse me, Lord. But it's true. It's a tool to help us engage with God. So we must be Spirit-filled. We must be asking God to fill us with His Spirit. And He comes when He's invited. And let's not neglect it. Let's read it. Even if we know it, let's read it again. Let's reread it. Let the richness, let the waft and weave of it, let the richness seep into our souls, that we really get to know our God more and more and more. These are the basics. Let's pray. Let's ask God. Let's read the Bible. Let's worship. Let's cry out and ask Him. And don't fear. Fear is terrible. Fear will totally demotivate us. Hopelessness is linked to fear. You know, do not fear. But if you've forgotten to do the basics, just pick them up again. Just like I did, get my compass out. And do the things you know you should. And actually what you'll find is you'll soon find yourself back on track, and you'll soon find yourself again in the will of God and actually feeling like God is with you. Because God's been with you the whole time, just that you haven't felt it because you've been ignoring Him. You know? Anyway. That was a big lesson for me. We're a resource church. And the night before the final day, yesterday, the weather forecast was ridiculously bad. It was strong rain, multiple drops, all morning from 7 till 2 in the afternoon. So that night before, I said, "Look, guys, I'd recommend we don't go out for a walk. It's going to be miserable." And then we did a quick sweep through, and everyone was saying, "No, we'll do a lakeside walk. We're just going to go for a coffee." I thought, fantastic. And then Dave Vann sticks his hand up and said, "I want to go for a walk." I thought, oh, no. No, I can't send him out alone. And then a few other guys put their hands up and said they wanted to go out for a walk. And I did not want to go out for a walk. That's me not wanting to go out and walk. I'm at the front there. It's not fun walking in those conditions, and I knew it wouldn't be fun. I've done it 100 times. And in the early days, nothing would stop me from going out in a walk in the rain. It would be fantastic. I want to try out my new jacket. I want to try out my new compass skills. I want to try out something. Come on, let's go out and attack those mountains. Let's go and climb a mountain we've not climbed before. Now I've done it 100 times, you know. Walking in the rain is not fun. But there are other people that wanted to walk in the rain, and they wanted to try out their jackets, they wanted to try out their skills. And actually, for me, the Holy Spirit inside of me was saying, "Go on, take them out in the rain." So I took them out in the rain. And, you know, some of us have been around the block. Some of us have been walking for many years, and some of us have got weary, and some of us actually would rather have a bit of comfort and not go out in the rain again. But the Holy Spirit is saying, "Will you go out in the rain again? Will you go out and get cold and wet for me? And take a few of the younger guys with you. Will you help others experience the joys that you had in your youth?" It's a question. I'm not laying it on anybody, but it's just a question I feel the Holy Spirit asking. You know, it led to joy. Even I was smiling by the time we reached the summit of the old man of Coniston. But they loved it. They absolutely loved it. So it's worth doing. It's worth doing. But there's one hour I didn't do there. Reaching out. And that group, you know, we had some new guys along. I met some new friends. And reaching out, making new friends is a fantastic thing to do. I met Matt, who runs Frontiers, which is the mission organization that sent out Dave and Charlotte to Ethiopia. They look after them. Fantastic guy. We have completely different theologies on so many things. We had lots of good chats. But fantastic guy. I met Mark, who lost an arm in a car accident 7 years ago, who'd been an alcoholic, and actually he was driving, and his friend died in that car accident. And so massive stuff going on in his life. He's become a Christian in the last few years, and he's feeling the grace of God, and he's walking free of addiction. And that's fantastic to meet him. We've got to make new friends. Got to make room in our lives, our busy lives, to reach out. Honestly, I've been talking to our Alpha guys recently, and I'm just thinking, oh, sad. They struggle to run Alpha. They only struggle to run Alpha because basically we don't reach out. We do reach out with Santa Fun Runs and with Love Marlo and with other things, which are great things to do. But what I mean is our hearts reaching out to those around us and taking risks with them, inviting them along to things and sharing the joy of our relationship with God with them so that they catch the passion that we carry. And I think we've just got loads to learn on that reaching out one. Loads. I'm not trying to beat us up with it. I just want to be realistic. We've got loads to learn. Until our Alpha courses are full and we can run two or three a year, you know, let's not kid ourselves that we're reaching out. But let's put our raincoats on and go out in the rain again. And let's try again. Because I hear Jesus saying, you know, you may be weary, you may be tired, but actually cast your net on the other side, because I'm going to do something surprising in your day. I'm going to continue to do something surprising, but I need you to go out. If you don't do it, you won't get surprised. And some of us, God is saying, will you go out again? Will you go fishing again? You'll be surprised what might happen this time. Anyway, that's a light thing, not a heavy thing. I hope you don't take it as a heavy thing. So, yeah, I just want to pray for folk, if I may. Tina, can you play for us? Thank you. You know, one of the things we fear as a church, let's be honest, we fear we're getting older and actually we're just going to go old and grey together. Anybody else fear that? Well, not many of you. Okay, if I'm honest, at times that would worry me. And I had great hopes for Marlo when Dave was appointed leader. I thought, yeah, fantastic, a young leader, vibrant, energetic leader, fantastic, passionate communicator. Surely now Marlo is going to be rejuvenated. And Marlo wasn't rejuvenated. It was in certain ways, but not totally. And I felt as I was preparing the talk, God speak to that. And he said, Colin, you know, actually, David's not a Saul, but in a similar way that the Israelites expected Saul to lead them into victory because he was the biggest and the strongest, 7 foot tall, you expected David to do what you wanted to happen because he was preeminently qualified to do that. He said, you should know by now that that's not the way I work. I choose the weak to shame the strong and the foolish to shame the wise. And so I'm going to get glory by doing it another way. Not the obvious way. And I felt him speak about you, Paul and Anthea. And God says he's going to surprise you with who he brings alongside you. And he's going to bring young people alongside you. He's done it for Kerry and Maidenhead. I've been delighted in seeing what God's done in Maidenhead in bringing people like Adam and Bethany, people like Daniel and Naomi King, people like Chris and Maddie May. But God says he's bringing new people that he's going to knit to you and knit to your leadership and knit to your hearts. And look out for that and be intentional about being sticky with these people. Because God's, make space, guys, make space for this generation that's coming through, because God's going to do something in your day which is going to surprise people. maybe surprise you too. And I just felt that to just release that over you. And I thank you for my friends, Lord Jesus. And I just pray outrageous grace upon them in your name. Outrageous grace. Outrageous grace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So, some of us might relate to some of the things I've said. I just want us to close our eyes for a second, just to maybe we've realized we've not been as relational with people or with God, maybe, I don't know which. And actually we want to make a decision today to say, actually, I'm going to be an inviter. I'm going to create relational spaces. I want to create spaces to invite people into, in my home or in coffee shops or for walks. I'm going to create space for God. I'm going to invite God into spaces in my life. It may be that there's some of us that are actually saying, do you know what? I want to adventure again. I'm prepared to go out into the cold and the rain again. For my own sake, but also for the sake of the next generation and those around me. I'm going to put off disappointment today. Because there are one or two here that have been wearied by the weather. That's understandable. God understands that. God is saying, will you go out for me again? And he's not insisting you do. He's a gentle God. He's just asking the question, will you go out with me again? Will you adventure with me again in those cold, high places? Risk for me again. Take risks again for me. Could be that, and this I felt very strongly, actually, that somebody's here is feeling lost, like I was. Not maybe to the point where you've spoken it out, I'm lost, but I've been lost physically like I was on the mountains. I've also been lost spiritually, and I've cried out to God saying, you must come. And God is saying, if you ask me today, I'm coming, and the clouds will lift, and this will be the day that marks the change. And you start to feel like I'm with you again, and you're back on the route again. And the last thing that I heard him say to me was that, just as we were worshipping, I was looking over at Sophia. And it's lovely to have a baby this time of year as we build up towards Christmas. But it's a beautiful name, meaning wisdom. Beautiful name. A beautiful name. And God's got a gift of wisdom for you guys, Gemma and Alistair. And he says, you know, just ask me. Ask and you will receive. Seek it and you will find it. There's no barriers for you in any of this. I've got gifts for you. Gifts and wisdom. Little wisdom there. She's a sign to you that I give to all who ask. And I don't know you. I don't know you at all. Really. I just know your name. Sadly, I'm sorry about that. But I just, whatever you've been through, whatever life is, whatever joys and heartaches have been up to this point, God says, he's just got more for you in this next season. More for you, more wisdom. There's going to be a deeper revelation that comes to you of his kindness, of his goodness. There's a greater sense of him being with you. It's like now Sophia is living with you. Now, from this day on, wisdom is going to live with you. Wisdom and revelation of the very heart of God is going to live with you. So seek him. The Bible is going to open up in a new way to you guys. It's a joyful thing, a real joyful thing. And that I just see, like, in the hills, they build cairns. They build cairns to mark the way. And, you know, sometimes in the Old Testament, they built cairns to mark important events that happened. I just see a whole trail of those for you guys, a whole trail of cairns in your life from going forward, as God is just enabling you to mark out amazing times and when he's spoken to you, real wisdom, and done great events for you and around you. You've seen it and recognized it and said, I'm going to commemorate that. I'm going to celebrate that. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Bless that family. But it's not just for them. I really felt that there was someone else in the room that needed to hear something from the Lord, needed a bit of wisdom. And this morning, let Sophia be a sign. If you need prayer, come and get prayer. So I know I've laid out a number of things there, but I just feel like the Holy Spirit wants us to come to the table again. It's an invitation. It's not a command. It's just an invitation. If you're hungry, if you're thirsty, then come to the table. Come to the table. Come, and yes, people like Nigel and Jean and myself and Paul and Anthea will minister to you, and they might come to the table themselves. But, you know, come and minister to one another. Be ministered to by the Holy Spirit, and minister to one another, and pray for one another. And be honest about why you've come. And Tina, if you could just play over us as we do that, that'd be fantastic. Sorry? You can sing. Fantastic. You, what God lays on your heart, because you sang some great songs that fit in with this message today. So come. Let's all stand, because we're not going to get anywhere near the table unless we're standing. You know, I want to make the first bit easy for you. So let's come. Let's come. Let's come.